Chapter 15, Gospel Obedience. We have mentioned a little of the plan of salvation, whereby this is made sure to all those chosen by God the Father, redeemed by God the Son, and quickened by God the Spirit. These are the sure mercies of David provided for in the eternal covenant of grace, and all interested therein are kept by the power of God and enabled to persevere in the ways of God unto the end, so as to enter upon the eternal inheritance reserved for them in heaven. Thus the promise of eternal life is made sure to all the spiritual seed of Abraham, and as they journey through this world, they seek and obtain at times tokens and earnests of their interest in that inheritance. We must not think, however, that because the inheritance is sure, they can walk carelessly and have no concern as to the state of their mind and affections toward the Lord. No, indeed, such an attitude would go very far to show that they had no interest in these eternal blessings. The effect of grace in the heart, the needs of the divine life implanted within, the motions of love toward the Lord, the knowledge of the sufferings endured by Christ for their salvation, the hope of being sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, all these things will cause them to strive to walk unto all pleasing, and to know and to do the will of God in all their ways. They are constrained by the love of Christ to seek to live to him that died for them. Faith in their hearts works by love, which is the fulfilling of the law, and being of the adopted family of God, they seek to walk as dear children. This is the source and motive of all true gospel obedience, and very different from a natural striving to keep the law of God in order to obtain eternal life. It is the obedience of a child, fearing to displease his heavenly Father, the devotion of a servant to his master, whom he loves, the loyal submission of a subject to his Lord and King, the loving attachment of the wife to the heavenly husband. Where these relationships are made known by the Spirit and entered into by faith, they influence the soul accordingly, but even where they are as yet unknown, the life and fear of God in the soul will move it in all right ways of obedience. The desire of the quickened soul is to know and do the will of God, as this is set forth in his word. This is the standard of what is required in the way of obedience. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 9. There is a regard had also to all the commandments of the Lord, and a desire not to evade any. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 6. True faith is at the root of this obedience, for without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, verse 23. Hence, his great commandment is that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. 1 John 3, verse 23. This faith works by love, and love worketh no ill to his neighbor, and desires to fear and serve the Lord in all things. This obedience takes in the attitude of our mind and heart toward God and toward our neighbor. For God looks at the heart, and not merely to the outward appearance and actions. With regard to the trend of our minds toward the Lord and His things, we are exhorted to flee from idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, and to keep ourselves from idols, 1 John 5, verse 21. We are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and to set our affections on things above, not on things on the earth, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. This takes in the great matter of prayer, which is so much enjoined throughout the Scriptures, and many examples given of the need and the efficacy of it. If any are afflicted or in a day of trouble, or if any need wisdom, they are directed to pray, to ask, to call upon the Lord, who will deliver them and supply all their needs. The Spirit of grace and supplication is bestowed to help their infirmities in this path of prayer. Diligent reading of the Word of God, meditation upon it, and attendance upon the public assemblies for preaching and prayer also come into this matter. We are to search the Scriptures, to think upon these things, and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. By these means we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Then there is our regard for our neighbor. This takes in all the various relationships in life. We are to be subject unto the higher powers, which are ordained of God for the management of the world in His wonderful providence. We are to be loyal subjects of the king and rulers of the nation to which we belong, and so to walk in civil affairs as not to be afraid of the magistrates. We are to render to all their dues, and pay the taxes and customs imposed upon us. See Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Servants are to be obedient to their masters with singleness of eye, and masters are to deal justly with those that serve them. Children are to be obedient to their parents and give them all honor, and parents are to rule their houses well and to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wives are to be subject to their husbands, and husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. See Ephesians 5 and 6, Colossians 3 and 4. Then, in a more general sense, we are to esteem others better than ourselves, being clothed with humility. As far as is right or possible, we are to live peaceably with all men and do good to our neighbors. We are to be honest in all our dealings among our fellow men, and to speak the truth in all sincerity. We are not to avenge ourselves, but seek to return good for evil, and commit our cause unto the Lord's hand, who judgeth righteously. As we have opportunity and ability, we are to do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith, distributing to the necessities of the poor and needy, and assisting the sick and infirm. How different would the world be if these precepts were followed, under the power and influence of the gospel being sent forth once more into the hearts of men. But, alas, it is sadly withdrawn in the present day, and we have rejected the word of the Lord, so that our chief wisdom is taken from us. Hence, wrong things prevail. The relationships of life are turned upside down. Authority is despised, and men seek to please themselves rather than to please God and to do good to their neighbor.